this is unorthodox.
But we're going to get right into the Word of God tonight, unless Brother Kelly has a special. And, yeah, come on.
Brother Schuler always has his guitar. He'll play, you sing. Can you play really loud, though? That's the question. We won't give you a mic. And you have to go in the baptistry. And run water. I want to say I appreciate you coming out on Wednesday night. I am very appreciative of our church family, and I know there's some visitors here tonight, and I want to say also I appreciate them being here tonight, and we are so thankful for the people that God has given us to help minister to on part of the staff, and I want to just tell you that it is a great joy of mine. And today I got to spend the day with Brother Ivy, so I appreciate anybody at this. No, I'm just kidding. I love Brother Ivy to death. I really did have a great day with him today. He had some doctor's appointments, and we had a great time. We really did. And to hear him, he's got vertigo, but he kept calling it let her go. And first time he said it, I was wondering, who is she? Let her go, you know? And so we had a good time with that. Pray for him. He's really not feeling good. But I did have a good time. I literally spent the whole entire day with him. So if I have a little twitch, you know, right, Taylor? But I do. I love our people in the church, and everybody's different, you know. And that's what makes us unique, and how God can put together different people. Amen. Some of us are from not Texas. Some of you are. Some of you are from the north. I mean, isn't it amazing how God just put us all together? And I'm very thankful for that. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, don't be alarmed, but we're going to read this whole entire chapter. And I want to talk about this subject tonight, the downfall of America. The downfall of America. Pastor called me or texted me just a little bit earlier, and so this is one of those microwave ones. I didn't have a crock pot one. I did. I've been working on one, and I started studying that, and it kept leading me back to 2 Peter today. And so just in the last few minutes, I really, the Lord just showed me some things. And I'm telling you, it's all in 2 Peter. Writing about the apostate state that the world was in that time and the time that it will be in, we're there, my friend. And I'll tell you what, now we're going to end the sermon on a positive note, is that I'm looking up. And I'm waiting to hear the trumpet sound. I'm waiting on the Lord to return. And as Americans, it is sad to see what's happening in our world today. But God said it was going to happen, and we're going to look at why that happened tonight. I'm going to read chapter 1 and verse 21 just so we get context here. It says, "For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We know that's how we got our Word of God. Holy men of old, the Holy Spirit through them gave them inspiration to write the Word of God. And then you get in chapter 2, and there's a word, it's B-U-T. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people." So in other words, during the time of the writing of the Word of God, not only were there men of God that were writing the Word of God that were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, but during that time also, Satan had his people also there with their gospel and with their so-called truth in that time. And so we see that he said that there was false teachers among you also. He says, "Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Verse 2 says, "And many shall follow their pernicion," that means evil ways, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Listen to that. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of when these people are present in a land. Folks, I'm telling you, we live in that era. We live in that time. If you speak truth today, you're made fun of. You're called a lot of things, and none of those are in the Bible. Amen. Well, maybe some of them are. Verse 3 says, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of" who? "Of you." The attack is in America is against, and I'll say this from the beginning, what's happening in America is the same thing that's been happening in our world since the time of Adam and Eve. It's always a battle between light and darkness, between evil and truth. Between evil and ungodliness. That's always going to be the battle. And I think we see really a manifestation of it today in a greater light. But notice what he says. He says, unframed words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnable slumbereth not. Damnation slumbereth not. Verse 4 says, here it is, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved until judgment. That means, by the way, some of those are going to be released during the tribulation time. I mean, they're going to run rampant in this world and deceiving and being deceived. This is what's going to happen. But verse 5 said, but he spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher righteous, being in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrown, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. By the way, there was a lot of things happening in Sodom and Gomorrah other than just homosexuality. That was the main thing we know of, but there was a lot of sexual sins happening in Sodom and Gomorrah at that time. And we see that happening in our world today. And verse 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelleth among them, just like us today, as Lot dwelled among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And what happened to Lot is that he lived there long enough. And by the way, if you don't live there, you know, you don't see these things. But we live there. We live in this world today. You can't go anywhere anymore without seeing stuff. I mean, you know, we say, well, I wouldn't go to the beach and see the things today. And I agree with that. But I see stuff in Walmart. Or as my parents say, the Walmarts. I go to the Walmarts. You know, I'm telling you, I see, you've seen people that are in Walmart, and you're going, and you have to do a double, I'm sorry, but you do. You're like, really? Could we not have got out of our sleeping clothes to go to Walmart? Somebody say amen right there, please. You know, and there's so much, I'm telling you, it's everywhere in today's society. And what's happening is that the devil's just having a heyday, we know that. But I want you to notice what happens here. Boy, this happens in verse 9, in verse 10. We're gonna see some things. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But notice verse 10. We're going to focus on this verse here in a minute. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government. Hello? The one thing people hate today is government. They hate President Trump. By the way, you can think what you want to, but if enough of the ungodly world hates something, it must be something good. I'm just saying. They didn't even hate George W. Bush this bad. I'm just telling you that if the world hates things bad enough, you better say, that's probably a pretty good thing. I believe that with my heart. You know, you think what you want to about him, but presumptuous, and they are self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil dignities, and we'll talk about those here in a minute. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, talking about the Lord's angels, not railing accusations against them before the Lord. In other words, the angels don't go and make accusations, and the reason that is because their day is coming. Their day is coming. This lost world's day is coming. His angels are angels of righteousness, by the way, and there's a whole other study there. Verse 13 says, or verse 12 says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, evil speak evil of things that they understand not. I love this, by the way. Don't you love when a person that's doing an interview actually asks somebody a question, like, what is a assault rifle? The people's holding signs up there, ban all assault rifles. And I watched the thing one day. A guy said, explain to me what an assault rifle is. They didn't have a clue. They, you know, and then another one went out there, we should impeach Trump. And he went out there, tell me exactly why, lawfully, why we should. None of them could, they don't know. They're just out there holding a sign somebody gave them. You know, the only reason it's spelt right is because some professor in some college somewhere spelt it for them and gave it to them. You know, they're just out there. Hey, they ain't got a job anyway, so what? They ain't got nothing else to do. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, how to fix everything in America is give everybody a job. You'll be too tired to get out there and protest things. Amen. Amen. Don't get me started. Woo. I'm already sweating. Hey, that's right. We're going to get 2020. I've already had a newspaper call me today, so they want an interview with me. And so it's just been a great day, I'm telling you. But notice this, and brute destroy, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, and they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Why is that? Because they ain't got a job. Hello? Amen. There's people that are handicapped that can't work, and there's people that retire, there's people looking for a job, but there's just people that, keep going. All emails to pastor@hbchaslett.org. I know who I'm among tonight. Spots, and by the way, it's truth. Spots they are, and blemishes sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. By the way, they're all around us. The devil knows how to get in. He nudges up next to us, looking like one of us. We have to be careful. We'll talk about that. Having eyes, I got to get through this scripture. Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practice and cursed children. Can't get on that one either. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor, something like that, who loved the wages of unrighteousness but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And woo, that's another message. Verse 17, moving on. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempests, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Now verse 19, while they promise them liberty. Sounds like a politician. Sounds like the Antichrist in the first 3 years, 3.5 years of the tribulation period too. Themselves are being servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. Verse 20 and 21. When we read these verses, this is not talking about losing your salvation. By the way, I tell people all the time, if you're going to study your Bible, you'll study your Bible and see what maybe something is not before you will see what it is. These verses cannot talk about losing your salvation. Why? Because the whole rest of the Bible doesn't talk about losing your salvation. So you have to dig a little deeper and find out what the meaning of these scriptures is. And I'll give it to you here in a little bit. Verse 20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That word knowledge is very specific. Verse 21 is going to give us more context here. Of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to true proverb. I like this. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, that's not a sow, the sow that has washed her wallowing in the mire. I love these verses, folks. This is America today. We see, and I just want to give you these real quick, and then we'll finish the sermon here. But verses 1 through 2, we see the attack of today. What is happening in today? The attack is on truth. The attack has always been on truth from the very beginning. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, the devil didn't come in the garden to just beguile them. He just for the sake of it, he came to beguile truth. And that's why he said, God have not... Hey, wait a minute, that's not exactly what God meant. Now we see in verses 3 through 9, we see not only the attack on truth, but we see an attack on God's people. Folks, we are the soldiers and the servants and the saints of Jesus Christ. Who do you think the devil's going to attack? Tonight I was going to preach a message on how to get the devil away from you forever. That was what I was intended to do, but that didn't happen. And I was going to tell you, quit coming to church, quit reading your Bible, quit loving the Lord, quit loving your family, and all these things. And guarantee you, He'll leave you alone. Why? Because you're already defeated. But if you're going to live for righteousness' sakes, if you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, every day of your life, old Satan's going to take that double-barrel shotgun and he's going to put that buckshot in there and fill those barrels full, and he's going to come after you. He's going to come and he's going to try to deceive you. He's going to come and try to get your and get you away from serving the Lord and being effective for Him. We see verses 10 through 16. These are great ones. We see that there is, in this day, not only is there an attack on truth and an attack on God's people, but thirdly, there is a hate for right and a love for wrong. I'm telling you what, I am sickened by what our world applauds today. Y'all can knock me for this, but I've been watching Ryan Roberts go to the abortion clinics, and he's out there just passing out these bags, trying to get these women to 3,000 babies are aborted every day in America. And he's just trying to do his part, and he does a good job. He's got a lot of ladies to walk out of there and say, no, I'm not aborting my child. But I was watching some of his stuff just because I like watching it, and because I like to see the reaction of those people and how many people come out of there cursing him and flipping him off and laughing at him. And one guy just sent him an email, told him that he was going to rape his wife and all these things. And I'm thinking, God help us. But see, that's the way the world is. And it behooves us not to come back at them with something harsh either. Hello? It's very easy too. But we got to remind ourselves that this is the world we live in today. That they're going to go, all right, we abort babies. That's good. But God says, no, that's murder. And it just boggles my mind that our world today, and people are so scared right now because the new justice, the chief justice, whatever they call, Supreme Court justice, they're scared that they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade and all these things. They're scared that this is going to happen. You know why? Because there's money to be made in that. Verse 10, notice what it says. We see that there's a hate for right and a love for wrong. We see it in verse 10. He says they walk after the flesh in lust of uncleanness. And then verse 10, we also see that they despise government. Presumptuous means daring, that they are daring. I dare you. That's the world we live in, isn't it? I dare you to speak truth. They're self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. That means glory, honor. That word dignities also means worship. Folks, they're making fun of us. Then we see in verses 17 through 19, uncleanness allures others, doesn't it? Boy, I'm telling you, the devil's just trying to lure us today. He's trying to lure people in today. And if he can promise them money and all these things that is in our world today, I'm telling you, if you want to know what the world likes, just drive down the road and look at billboards. I'm sorry, probably you shouldn't. I remember when our kids were little, brother was little. There were some billboards we had to speed pass. We're like, Dad, what's that? Close your eyes, son. You know, I mean, that's the world we live in, isn't it? That they're trying to draw us, allure us in. We see in verses 19 through 21, we see they have a knowledge of Jesus as Savior, but that is all they have. By the way, knowledge of Jesus does not save anybody. Knowledge of Jesus Christ has never saved anybody, even from the beginning of time. It is putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross. Listen, I can know who Jesus is, but I don't know maybe why He came. And I've not transferred my trust to Him, knowing that I'm lost. And listen, it's good to have knowledge of Him, but here's what the Bible said, that it would have been better for you to have not even known the knowledge of truth than to know the knowledge of truth and turn from it viciously. How many people used to sit in church pews and hear the gospel Sunday through Sunday school and children's church and VBSs, and now they're out there in the world, and they've, by the way, there is a time when God gives them over to a reprobate mind. God's a graceful and a merciful God, but there is a day when God says, that's enough. Because I'm telling you, people's conscience are seared every day. If anybody knows me, you know that I love to watch Cops, or now it's Live PD. I heard a lot of amens right there. Y'all don't be ashamed of that. It helps you know where our society is, and helps you get sermons together. And for some of us, it's the only way we ever see our kinfolk. You know? And so... Amen, Miss Tanya. And so I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. But you know, and some of us know that. You know, hey, who's that getting back a car? Oh, that's my cousin right there. You know, I hate it when they show Florida. I'm always scared. I'm like, oh. But I'm gonna tell you, it really shows you what a sick world we live in when they find people at a red light who are passed out from just shooting themselves up with heroin, laying on a street with track marks in their arms. And I'm telling you, we live in a society today that the devil says, hey, if I can keep them drugged up and drunk, I can keep them lost. Folks, I'm telling you, the devil is real. I like verse 22. He reminds us that they're just all dogs and hogs. That's all they are. I know we have two dogs, and we give them baths, and we take them to the vet sometimes, and flea them, you know, give them flea stuff and all this stuff. And it's just amazing what they do and what they eat. That's all. I'm just going to leave it right there for you because it puts it right there for you. And isn't that the truth of our world? By the way, there's a sermon in there also. Without Jesus Christ being your Savior, you can go out and try to change your life, but you'll just come right back to where you were. You can go out there and say, you know what, preacher, before I trust Jesus, I got to clean some things up. You're never going to clean anything up. You're going to return right back to your vomit. You're going to turn right back and wallow in that mire. You're going to just keep coming back. And without Jesus Christ, you have no help. You have no Holy Spirit to help you. And by the way, I have a hard enough time. I've been saved over 25 years. I had a hard enough time my own trying not to go back out and get entangled in the things of the world again. Well, I want to tell you tonight, I'm going to give you just a few things and be done. The downfall of America is all because of some things Satan is doing. Number one, we see Satan's envy. By the way, he's envious of God. He always has been. Even in the time when he was a cherubim in heaven and he was adored and he was there in heaven, he said, I want to be like the Most High. He had an eye problem, not I as an eye of the letter, but also an eye of the eyes. And he said, I want these things in my life. And listen, when Christ cast him down, and yes, he is the God of this world today, but listen to me, he's jealous of what God has. And ever since the beginning of time, he promised Adam and Eve that they could be gods. He promised Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 that he could be, or Matthew chapter 4, that he could be a God. If he would just cast himself down. Listen tonight, the devil only wants to be a little G-God. Because he's envious of what God has. You see, the devil, even in the end times, is going to have a trinity. In the end times, during the tribulation period, he's going to have a beast, and he's going to have a false prophet, and himself, he's going to have his own trinity. Why? Because he is so envious of what God has. He has taken the Word of God, and listen to me, he has his own word. Hello. He has many words out there. And by the way, see, Satan is so clever. Well, let me give you the next thing. Not only Satan's envy, but Satan's efforts. By the way, he's not giving up. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to see this verse. And I know you know these verses, but let's look at them afresh and anew tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. You know these verses, but let's look at them. It says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, Satan said this, and I said this in Sunday school Sunday, and I kind of messed it up, and I probably will tonight, but somebody was giving this illustration. I believe it was Tony Evans over in Dallas. He said that the demons of hell came to the devil and said, the devil said, well, how are we going to get to this world? How are we going to get them? And the first demon coming, he said, we ought to go down there with force and just force them. And he said, no, that won't work. The next demon came and he said, well, what if we go down there and we just put pressure on these people, kind of like the first one said. And he said, but what if we just promise death to them if they don't? The devil said, no, that won't work. Third demon said, well, what if we go and we just change what God has just a little? The devil said, that'll work. By the way, that's what he has done a good job at. Notice what the Scripture says in verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan, now notice that next word because it's very specific, himself. By the way, that means himself, if you look that word up, it means self, it means embodiment. He embodied himself in what? Into an angel of light. And you know what? You know what the world has done? They put the angel of light on TV. They've given them big churches. Hello? Just because somebody has a church or a fellowship or whatever else they call them, doesn't mean that it's of God. People drive me crazy with this too. Well, it's partly true. Talking about songs and things like that, I'm like, that's a work of the devil. Folks, it's either true or it's not true. See, Satan wants us to be fence straddlers. And God said in the book of Revelation that if you're a fence straddler, which is lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. He said, I'd rather you be one or the other. That way you know where you're at. By the way, as a preacher, that's where I always wanted my church members. I wanted them to know if they were cold or hot. I hated the lukewarm ones because they were the ones that caused you the most trouble. Sorry, I disliked them. But notice what happens here. We see Satan's effort. He said in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. In other words, you're going to know them by their works. We have a world today that is being deceived. By the way, it breaks my heart to see it too. There are children in churches today or in buildings today. Thinking about Muslims and Jehovah Witnesses and all these people. And by the way, God loves them. Amen. He does. He loves them. But those kids are being trained to do things that are not truth. And it's not going to give them eternal life. Well, let me give you the last thing. I want to remind you of this. I want to leave on a good note. We see Satan's end. Hallelujah. Notice what he says it several times. Notice verse 9. Verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be what? Punished. See, we think sometimes, God, do you see what's going on in America today? God, do you see the downfall of America? Do you see all of the uncleanness? Yes, He does. But He's a merciful God and He's a gracious God. He's still allowing us times to preach and airways to preach and all these things. Why? Because He loves these people. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the God we serve. But one day there is going to come destruction upon them. We see it also in verse 12. He says, but these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which are understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Notice verse 17 says it again. He says, these are wells without water, clouds that carry in tempest. He says, to whom in the midst of darkness is reserved, what? Forever. You see, let them have their little time now because, listen, one day they're going to spend eternity in hell. Now notice a couple more. Verses 20 through 21, you kind of see it there also. I'm not going to go through all these, but he says the end for them is worse than it was, than it would be for anything else. You say, how's it going to be worse? I don't know how much worse it can get than hell. But God said it is going to be worse. I don't want to find out. I want to be on the better, not the worse. Hello? Hello? Would you rather be on your mother's or your dad's worse side or his better side? Amen. I'd rather be on his better side. And can I leave you one more thing? Oh, let me give you this too. Revelation 20:10 says this. You ought to write this one down. This is a good verse to memorize. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So long, Satan. We're done with you. There's one last thing and I'm done. We see the saints' encouragement. Look at verse 9. I love this verse. It's just kind of nestled in there. And you can skip over it very quickly if you're not careful. But here's what he said. He said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. It's just a small part of that verse, and here it is. You know what? God reminds us that even in the world that we live in today, even when we see the downfall of America and our world today, God says, I still love you. And I know how to deliver you. You know how He's going to deliver us? It's called the rapture. Or it's called death. Death of a saved person is, yes, it breaks our heart, and we spend time sometimes in mourning and things like this, but listen, it is a graduation from this earth to eternity. It's graduating from the hurts and pains of this world to the joys of heaven. Listen, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't trade my salvation for anything. If somebody came in here with $1 billion and said, hey, if you could give me your salvation, I wouldn't trade it for $1 billion. And anything above that. You see, we see that we're encouraged that even though we live in this lost and dying world, that God knows all about us. Just as He knew about Noah, and just as He knew about Lot, He knows about you. Would you agree that sometimes in this world you go, Lord, how much longer? Whew, man, I'm telling you. I hear things now out of people's mouths that I didn't hear 20 years ago. I've heard more women speak vulgarity in the last 10 years of living in the city than I have in all my life. Used to, you never heard a woman speak the thing. I'm talking about not just curse words. I'm talking about vulgarity. I stand amazed at what has happened to America. But it's all coming to an end. You say, what do we need? We need revival. We need personal revival, and we need a church revival. And we can experience the revival of the Lord Jesus Christ even in the midst of this world. God can give us a little deliverance from it, and that's why we come here, right? I love coming to church. You know why? Because I'm amongst family. I'm amongst people who believe like I believe for the most part, and we have the Word of God and truth and the Holy Spirit, we can get delivered from that world just for a little while. And we need that, don't we? We need that moment where we can come together as a church. And that's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but so much the more as you see what? The day approaching. Folks, I see the day approaching. Paul thought the day was approaching in his lifetime. How much closer are we to it now? Peter said, it's coming, the last days, and last days, perilous time shall come. We are there, my friend. And we need that encouragement. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I hope I pleased you tonight. Lord, in anything that I said of myself, Lord, tonight, please let it fall from the ears and the hearts tonight and the minds. But God, every word that you've spoken tonight, may it penetrate our hearts and our minds and our lives. God, even in this world that we live in, and Lord, it is wicked, and we see things happening today that we've never seen. God, help us to be reminded that an end is coming. God, thank you for your encouragement during those times. Lord, maybe somebody here tonight, Lord, just been beat up by the world this week by Satan. I pray you encourage them through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you'd minister to your people. God, I love you tonight, and I thank you for all that you do and all that you are and all that you will do for us. In Jesus' name.